Hey, how we doing?
Good.
It's the off season. You gotta go off. NFL off season 2022. Let's go. How we doing, guys? We got the first NFL mock draft for this upcoming 2022 class. Let's get into it. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
You can kick it off. We got two rounds, right?
Yeah, two rounds. We're going to just switch off after each pick. All right.
All right.
So with the first Jaguars. Pick
of the 2022 draft, I have the Jaguars taking Evan Neal.
I don't care
how bad their defense was. I don't care how bad their pressure rating was. You got to protect Trevor Lawrence. If you have a chance at a generational talent quarterback, you got to protect him and help him all you can so he can reach his full potential, having enough time in the pocket and just being able to throw the ball without getting absolutely crushed by defensive linemen.
Okay, it's an interesting take. At two, if I'm Detroit, I mean, it's between Hutchinson and KT, so I'm very tempted to take KT just because of the upside. I think Aiden Hutchinson just fits, like, the scheme a little bit better, and he's a Michigan kid, so he won't have to move far. I'm taking Aiden Hutchinson.
All right. If this were to happen, Houston has an easy pick here of Kayvon Thibodeau. Right now, they have no bright spots on their team other than maybe Davis Mills. It's really bad. And if you could generational talent, I wouldn't try and, like, take the safe position of getting an offensive lineman. You have to try and get something out of KT. And you can put him wherever you want on the field. It's not like there's other veterans around him who are better. He can just pressure all the time. You won't have any problem with that. So KT at pick number three.
KT at three. All right, yeah. Picking for the Jets. You know, if I'm Joe Douglas, right, I know we haven't had success in a very long time. And I know my job and Robert Saleh's job may be on the line. You have to get who I think is the best player in the entire draft, Kyle Hamilton at four. I mean, you watch him and he's just like Brian Dawkins and Ed Reed.
As much as I agree with that,
you look at how Robert Saleh creates his defenses. It's off pressure, bro. Got to get some big name pressure.
Yeah, but you have to get the most talented safety that's true. Come out in a draft class since Sean Taylor.
True. All right.
Giants, I don't know
what it's looking like for them right now. Honestly, they spent a lot of money in free agency and
didn't look good. So with this pick,
they're going to have to protect whoever is at the helm with that offense. I don't think it's going to be Daniel Jones, but they're going to need to protect whoever that is. The offense is looking terrible. Offensive line. Let me restate. And I have him going Ikem Ekwonu.
Okay.
State.
I like it. Panthers. I'm very torn on this one because I think best player on the board is probably Stingley, but they don't really need corner.
They do not at all.
You know, I'm gonna go with a pick that I haven't seen mocked before, but the Panthers, you know, they know they have to keep up with what they did defensively last year. They have to do that same thing to replicate that this year as well. And they're losing Hassan Reddick in free agency, most likely. So I have them replacing him with none other than Trevon Walker from Georgia.
Ooh.
He had an outstanding combine, an athletic freak. There was already buzz around the league of him going to top 15, and I think that combine performance, and he proved his versatility of being able to line up on the edge, kick inside, or even drop in coverage, and that versatility will be much appreciated in Carolina.
What do you run, a 4.5, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Or 4.4, like it was a high 4.4, I think.
For a linebacker, that's insane. All right. So, speaking on, you know,
kind of some out-of-pocket
picks here. For the second Giants pick.
This you probably haven't seen
this before, but I have. I would say they need to go Tyler Lindenbaum out of Iowa.
If they go two
O-linemen in top 10 pick, and hit. Imagine they hit on both of them.
They will not have a problem
with the O-line anymore. They will instantly have a top O-line having Lindenbaum, Andrew Thomas, and Ikem Ekwonu. Having them all young, all on rookie contracts, all available for fifth-year options,
your O-line will
become more solid with the little cap space you have left.
Just trying to protect that.
Protect your QB.
Yeah, I like that route. Another route that I find very interesting for the Giants, especially with how the board is right now, is cut James Bradbury as a cap casualty, and then you're looking at Stingley or Sauce Gardner, whoever you want.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're also
trying to cut Sterling Shepard as well. Or they asked him to take a pay cut, and most likely he'll get cut now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't want one.
Yeah. Falcons on the board. I'm taking, which an NFC executive said this player was the most talented player in the draft. I'm having the Atlanta Falcons take Sauce Gardner here at 8. He's super athletic, super physical. He's a big body corner, but still very good anticipation skills. And he's just definition of lockdown. I think you pair him with AJ Terrell, and you'll just see how much better that makes the entire defense, because AJ Terrell's play will go up. And when you have someone like Sauce Gardner, you give your offense more opportunities. And you know the offense isn't bad. You know you have Kyle Pitts and Matt Ryan, who's actually very underrated now. I think this pick would actually help all around.
I agree. If you have two islands and you can just let them be out there, it's going to help a lot your front seven. But yeah. So with the Broncos here, this is assuming they do not get Aaron Rodgers in the trade. That's assuming they're in the running for it now. I know that. But assuming they don't get it and they have to get a hit on a QB,
I have them going Malik
Willis out of Liberty.
Okay.
They have all everything around on that team is good. Good receiving core, good running back. They have good O-line, and their defense is looking very good. If they can just get that QB, even if he's just mediocre, that's their playoff team. If Malik Willis can play up to expectations and really play well,
they're going to have a really good
team for the coming future.
Yeah. So for this Jets second pick, it made me think back. There was a interview that Joe Douglas did for the Jets. I believe it was last week. And he was talking about building around Zach Wilson and getting playmakers offensively and defensively. And when I think of playmakers, I think of none other than Jameson Williams from Alabama. He's Jalen Waddle 2.0. His combination of speed, acceleration, and route running, along with good ball tracking and hands, I think it's a can't-miss pick here. And
They went O-line last year as well, and the year before. And I think a change, you know, Corey Davis didn't really pan out as you would have liked to last year. And Elijah Moore can be that guy, but you get a guy like Jameson Williams, and it brings your offense up an entire new level.
With the Redskins, it's similar situation as the Broncos. Really need a quarterback. They have the team all around it looking good. Just need that QB.
So I have been going
small hands. Kenny Pickett here.
Okay.
You know, just because he has small hands doesn't mean it's a big deal. Obviously, ball security is going to be a bigger issue.
Not having that much smaller amount of grip on the ball, your hands are smaller, and it's a little different than a college football, but I still feel like with the weapons he has around him, O-line's starting to look a little better with they had a good pick in Sam Cosmi last year. If they can just get that offense rolling, like Terry McLaurin is hurting out there in Washington. Like I had him in fantasy last year, did not look too good with Heinicke.
We gotta help him out.
And get him a QB who can get him the ball. Get the ball to your playmakers.
So for this Minnesota pick, you know, the entire defense is just trashy. But I think the biggest issue they have is a hole at cornerback, and I'm torn on who to go with this because I know who I would have rated higher. Obviously, I'd have Stingley rated higher than McDuffie, but all the NFL scouts are saying McDuffie, you know, he had an excellent combine, showed, like, just his change of direction, his fluent in his hips, and his high point ability. But it's tough. I know I want to keep Stingley on the board for the Ravens pick, but no, I'm gonna take Stingley right here. I think his upside is just through the roof, and he can be a top five corner in the league. So
your pick was Stingley, correct?
Sorry, Stingley, yeah. Times.
All right, with the Browns,
they're not going
to be able to answer quarterback in this draft. In my opinion, it's not a strong enough class. And also Baker, they're going to play out Baker for this last year. They didn't offer him his fifth year option, so I think they're just going to ride it out with him and try to address it next year. Good pick I have here. Shoot. I have them going inside linebacker here with N'Kobe Dean.
JOK.
And N'Kobe Dean, if N'Kobe Dean pans out, he could really be that leader on that defense and kind of put that defense all together. They have great pieces right now, but there's really no
glue to it. Obviously, they have
Garrett. They have good corners in Denzel Ward.
And also in Greg
Newsome.
They just need to get their
linebacking core much better.
Yeah, I like that pick up for the Browns. Looking at the board, excuse me. Looking at the board for the Ravens, it's tough because, you know, you have a hole in the offensive line. Charles Cross is on the board. Charles Cross, out of all those top end offensive tackles, you know, Evan Neal and Icky. They both have guard flexibility, where Charles Cross does not. Charles Cross looks to be to pan out as a strictly left tackle only type player, and it's also difficult because looking at the edge position, I think the Ravens do extend an offer to someone like Chandler Jones or something like that. But that being said, with a hole there and a defensive coordinator who's coming in who's not going to blitz as much, I think the David Ajabo to the Ravens connection makes too much sense for them to pass. So I have them going David Ajabo here.
With Philly having so many first round picks, they have the ability to, you know, not reach on some players, but take a little more risk in their picks, knowing they have other picks as well to to take safely.
Yeah.
I really
like Jermaine Johnson.
The Eagles really don't
have an edge presence right now, and Derek Barnett's a free agent.
If they with some edge
pressure on that defense can really help out.
I really don't think other than
Fletcher Cox, they have anyone to get to the QB. Adding Jermaine Johnson would really help out.
Yeah, I like that pick. Athletic freak.
Mm-hmm.
All right, to go back to back as the Eagles again. You know, looking at the board, obviously playmaker on the offensive side of the ball is a necessity, and also cornerback. That being said, you know, George picked up an edge rusher for them, so they're set there. I'm going to go with Charles Cross here for the Eagles. They need offensive line help. Is Jordan Mailata the answer? Yes, he can be it. I think you look at that offensive line and, you know, they're losing pieces slowly, but, you know, I think they need another offensive lineman to shore it up. And worst comes to worst, you know, Lane Johnson is already over the edge of his career, you know. Kelsey's debating retirement. You need to get some youth on that offensive line, and I think taking a sure-handed left tackle here that looks to be a franchise left tackle, I think you capitalize on that when you can. As you mentioned, they have other picks in the first round, so, you know, they can reach on those a little bit more. I think you take the sure hand here.
Yeah. Who is the center they drafted last year in the second
round? Landon Dickerson.
He's pretty good. He can replace Kelsey.
See, but as you said, everyone's getting old on that O-line. They need some more help. All right. Yeah. Chargers.
Now, the Chargers last year, they changed to a 3-4.
Put Joey Bosa stand up, moved everyone around, and that made it really difficult because their roster was not ready to be a 3-4. Their defensive tackles were 4-3 defensive tackles, meaning they were lighter and just more agile than a normal nose tech. And having to push someone in there allowed teams to gash them running and just run all over them.
I don't really
like the player, but putting him in a system where all he has to do is be the nose and just push the center back and just take up space, Jordan Davis would be a great fit for this Chargers defense. Stopping all the run in the middle, being able to just clog up space, being how big he is, and surprisingly fast. I didn't know he could run that fast. That's scary, to be honest.
But Jordan Davis will really stop that run game
problem they had.
Yeah. Looking at it for the Saints, you know, I like Jordan Davis a lot as a prospect. So, I mean, I think he'll fit well with the Chargers. But looking at it from the Saints, you know, this team is, well, not at its top potential, to say the least. You know, they're aging. Their head coach just retired. You know, you lost Drew Brees 2 years ago. You're potentially losing Jameis Winston this offseason. Potentially losing your franchise left tackle this offseason. Potentially losing your running back to 5 years of prison. So I think, you know, you just got to take your time with this. You know, it's going to be a rebuild. And, you know, I think rebuild nowadays, explosion is important. And I think you go with, you know, when you think of crafty, explosive guys that, you know, are good in space, I think you think of Treylon Burks. So I think Saints should be smart to take Treylon Burks right here.
To be honest, like, it's hard when you're on the edge of having to rebuild.
But, you know, not it
in is. An area where you don't have enough young guys to build around. So you're like, what do I do? Having someone like a playmaker, it would be really helpful.
It takes pressure off the quarterback, takes pressure off the entire offense. You know,
Just get him the ball in space.
So the Eagles notoriously have been bad at drafting wide receivers.
With J.J.
Arcega-Whiteside, Nelson Agholor, I will say, was a bust for them. He really didn't start playing well until he got to the Raiders, and he's only playing decently for the Patriots. Doesn't look like what's his name? I'm blanking. Who did they draft? Yeah, Rager is going to pan out, really. Doesn't really have the hands.
But you can't go wide
receiver that many times.
I would, if I were them,
I would address.
Geez, I don't know.
Sign Chris Godwin or something, or Amari Cooper in the offseason.
They need free agents.
That actually approved it.
Getting Devin Lloyd here.
Just someone young who can.
They don't have linebackers.
They have DBs.
Yeah, I like that pick. I like that pick.
Big play Slay. They have that
D-line, and now with Jermaine Johnson and Devin Lloyd, that defense is going to be scary.
Okay. Steelers, this is tough. This is really, really tough. If I'm the Steelers, I'm going with a player who I'm very confident is going to be very, very good. I'm very confident will make a Pro Bowl at some point throughout his career. I'm very confident can be a key contributor to our team. Obviously, offensively, you are not there. You are not going to win with offense. I think you continue to stack this defense. Joe Hayden is getting older. He's declining. Could possibly retire. I'm having the Steelers go my best player on the board as of right now, Trent McDuffie.
All right. I like that pick. All right. New England Patriots.
No linebackers on the board
for them to really to draft. And impending doom is coming with J.C. Jackson, wanting $20 million a year. I think the most likely thing to happen is a tag and trade, honestly.
Yeah. I think the Patriots kind of screwed themselves because not talking to him is just, like, I think he's already passed.
Yeah.
And there's no going back now. But it happens all the time. Bill Belichick finds diamonds in the draft and doesn't want to pay him.
Yeah, I feel like he thinks J.C. Jackson's got too big of a mouth now to keep him. Honestly, he doesn't
I think he's just saying, we can replace you. We can replace you to Gilmore. We can replace you to J.C. Jackson. Like, you know, he has that mindset. Like, you know, I mean, J.C. Jackson's requesting Ramsey money.
Is he a Ramsey player, though? We'll see next
time. I think he's a top three corner, so.
I do too. But
like that show it, too.
Jalen Mills, he didn't play that bad.
Jonathan Jones is going to be back, but
I'm thinking Andrew Booth
from Clemson is the pick here, to be honest.
I like that.
Get a replacement
for J.C. Jackson.
Hopefully it pans out nicely.
You know, maybe he turns into Devin McCourty, where he started out as a corner, came out of Rutgers. He played in Bill Belichick's system, moved wherever he wanted to, moved him to free safety. Maybe that's Booth's path. When seeing how if McCourty resigns maybe for a year and follows in his steps.
I like it. For the Raiders.
Oh. Come on. You got to see this one.
See it?
It's too much of a good great fit. Team wise,
what's that supposed to mean?
You got a badass tackle who will fuck anyone up.
Okay, well,
come on.
I got the Raiders going a different direction. I have them taking Devontae Wyatt from Georgia.
Right.
They need help in the run game. You know. Last year they had just a rotation. Well, when he was injured, they had some dude off waiver, like, that I've never even heard before, but they had a rotation of guys that were just in there, you know. And I think you get a guy who's going to be solid, Devontae Wyatt here, you know, he's super athletic. And, you know, he's also 300-plus pounder, so he can anchor the middle of your defense, your run defense, and he can also get to the passer as well. I think it's a very solid pickup, and he's got plenty of that fire that you're talking about, George. So,
damn. All right. For the Cardinals here, got to go Trevor Penning. Get some protection for Kyler Murray, bro. Kyler wants all this money. Doesn't need that. But they need someone to protect him so he can get those touchdowns, get those yards, and then get paid.
Yo. Okay, for the Cowboys, I don't know how he's still on the board here, but I'm taking George Karloftis. The Greek freak, his ability to, you know, obviously the Cowboys will be running a 4-3 primarily, so he fits that as well. But you got a guy opposite of him like Micah Parsons. Move him around as well. And I think Karloftis, while he doesn't have that same type of, you know, flexibility, he's a guy that can line up, you know. He's a guy that can stand up, rush the passer, hand in the dirt. He can also move inside just because of his combination of speed and size and power. And he can also stop the run. So I like this pick a lot. And it'll just allow Micah Parsons to become the player that he truly can develop into, because last year he was getting double teamed when he would rush the passer.
Now, Bill's receiving core is getting broken up. Cole Beasley has been okay to request a trade. Isaiah McKenzie's a free agent. Is Gabriel Davis is still there, but yeah. Other than him and Diggs, it's no one else. And imagine if on one side of the ball you have Stephon Diggs, who's an amazing route runner, and on the other side you have this absolute mammoth of a human being in Drake London for jump ball situations. That's like if you look at Tampa Bay. They had that two punch of a jump ball receiver in Mike Evans, and then they had Chris Godwin, and that offense was thriving. And imagine Drake London, where your best cornerback is on Stephon Diggs. You turn around and you have Drake London mossing someone in the corner of the end zone. Changes the game. Where you got to have two standout cornerbacks now with all the good receivers in the league.
There you go. This is a difficult pick for me here. You know, I think there's no linebackers really on the board here. No tight ends worth taking here. Corner's been pretty taken, although I do like Kyler Gordon. I like him as a first-round prospect. But at the same time, the Titans went Caleb Farley last year in the first round. So I don't think they'd go back-to-back corner. Offensive tackle, I think all the first-round offensive tackles are off the board. You know, I doubt the Titans go receiver. It's possible, though, they could go Garrett Wilson here or Chris Olave. You know, I think Garrett Wilson is probably on the board a little too long. I don't think he gets off here, though. You know, Titans' run defense was not the best, but it was solid enough. For the inside. So I think, you know, if I'm the Titans, I'm trading down, but for this scenario, we won't. And I'm going to get Zion Johnson, guard or center from Boston College. Primarily played guard, but he did work out the Senior Bowl as a center. Seemed to do pretty well at that. The Titans have Ben Jones as a free agent this year. He's getting old. I don't think they'll re-sign him. They also have Nate Davis, their right guard. You know, he's gonna require some solid money, because he is a very solid right guard. So I think just shoring up this offensive line, you got Derrick Henry coming back full strength, and you got to protect Tannehill too, because when you give him enough time, he can be a solid quarterback like he was 2 years ago. But I think this is a very solid pickup for the Titans.
Another team that is in that difficult position of between rebuild and has too many old components to rebuild is the Tampa Bay Bucs. That quarterback situation, look, I'm not even going to talk about. I'm not going to. They got some people on the team who
give me Mariota. Give me Mariota to Tampa, baby.
I don't know if Bruce Arians is going to try and sign a big QB, because I don't know. I think he just may roll with Blake Bortles or Kyle Trask just to see what he has, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I do like Desmond Ridder in the first round. I think he proved himself at the combine. And he's a winner, too.
That's true. He brought that Cincinnati team out of nowhere.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's the best first quarterback taken off the board and the best quarterback out of this class.
That's true. It's not like there's explosiveness at the QB position as we've seen in other years, where there's this guy where it's like, oh my god, if only he pans out, he would be really good. He has so much upside. I can't really say that about this QB class.
So I mean, he's faster than Mariota. He's got the arm of, you know, he's got an arm better than half the league. You know, it's just about accuracy, and I think he proved that. So
that's most of the problems with QBs who come to the NFL. Everyone has the arm strength to make it to the NFL. It's easy to have that, but your touch on the ball and your accuracy, that's the thing where very few QBs have it and can really make it to the NFL, because the NFL moves so much faster. Smaller windows to hit people, obviously tighter coverage. You have to have it in that perfect position to make the play where even the cornerbacks are like, how did you do that? I was in great coverage.
Yeah.
All right, back to the Bucs. They're losing everybody. And you could go anywhere here. I could go Dax Hill for their Winfield has another guy back there with him. I could go interior D-line. But Kenyon Green is who I'm thinking.
Okay.
They lost Marpet into free agency. They're losing their center, I am pretty sure, and their right tackle.
Free agent, yes.
So, helping out with that O-line, I would just try and put a bandage over the wound of everyone they're losing.
Packers. This all depends on who and what happens to Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. I don't know if it's just wishful thinking. I'm convinced Aaron Rodgers is not staying in Green Bay. You know, the Packers already have trade deals lined up with the Titans, the Broncos. There's one other team. I don't know why I can't remember. But it's all up to Aaron Rodgers right now. It's wherever he wants to go play football. You know, that's what's going to happen. I don't know what this trade package includes. I have to assume, though, that Aaron Rodgers, for this scenario, is going to stay a Green Bay Packer. In that case, I don't think Davante Adams might return for 1 year if Aaron Rodgers does, but I'm convinced they're both leaving. I got to take one of my favorite wide receiver prospects, who I think can be a top five wide receiver someday. Jahan Dotson. When you watch him, I love him. His game is just reminiscent of, it's Deontay Johnson and a little bit of Jaylen Waddle all in one. And I think, you know, he's Deontay Johnson. I think that comp is very good. but his shiftiness, and you just get him the ball. And it's not like, you know, it's Davante Adams and then a bunch of bums. If Davante Adams leaves, you still got Alan Lazard, you know, who's proven that you can play. And, you know, I think this is just a good compliment. I think when you're rebuilding a wide receiver core, you need a playmaker. And that's exactly Jahan Dotson.
Right. So with the Miami Dolphins,
their
defense is...
They had Brian Flores
really carry them. I feel like their roster sucked last year. And Brian Flores, combined with an easier schedule, he was able to really put the team together and just get them some wins before ultimately they were unable to make the playoffs.
In my opinion, Christian Wilkins is
a bust now. He's had his time, hasn't done anything.
Got to move on from him. Perry and Winfield.
From Oklahoma.
Just some D-line
help. Like,
they're
losing Emmanuel Ogba. He's going to be a free agent.
Adam Butler
wasn't as good as a sign as they wanted to.
Raquan Davis.
He's okay as well as Christian Wilkins.
Got to start somewhere
with their defense.
I think that's a very solid pick up there. For the Chiefs, it's tough. It's tough. I'm torn between two prospects. But I'm going to go with best player available, Garrett Wilson. I think you get to pair Garrett Wilson with Tyreek Hill, with Mecole Hardman, with Travis Kelce, and Mahomes throwing the ball, like, it's just not fair at that point. You know, Garrett Wilson could be the best receiver in this class. So, and that's no understatement. This class is as special as maybe the NFL's ever seen. But, you know, I think as a Chiefs, you can't pass on this. I know the defense needs help, but you can take that later. It's a deep edge class. The safeties, there's no safety that I would take right here. Maybe Dax Hill, but that's about it. I'm going Garrett Wilson. Lock in.
At the start of the year, we thought the safety class was, like, going to be insane. Like,
but really,
a lot of the players in college didn't have a good enough year to come to the draft. Like, Jordan Battle, he was eligible to go to the draft, but he didn't have a good enough season where he could have gone to the draft and been a high pick. He's rolling again with Alabama. Someone that's been going up on depth charts. I mean, not depth charts. Mock drafts and, you know.
Yeah.
Just top players.
Tyler Smith out of
Tulsa.
I really like him as a player. He's just a really good.
He just looks really good. You can move him around anywhere. He played left tackle at Tulsa for 2 seasons. He's an interior lineman now. You can move him around.
That Bengals offensive
line doesn't have any stability at the position other than Jonah Williams, maybe. Having someone you can move around is going to help give you, like,
just the accessibility
where you can get any
offensive lineman,
plug them in, and you can move Tyler Smith to wherever you want, and he will play well there.
Whoa, baby, fire me up. I love that pick. It's a great pick. I'm going to have to go with – if I'm the Detroit Lions, I'm a Dan Campbell guy. You know, if I'm Dan Campbell right now, I'm looking at what I got on the board. You know, this lives and dies by his motto. I'm taking Desmond Ridder.
Okay.
He's a winner. I think he can be the best quarterback in the class. And I think his combination of mobility along with, you know, his passing ability is pretty underrated. I like Desmond Ridder a lot. And he's just an effort guy. And that's Dan Campbell guy right there.
You know who was supposed to be a top 10 pick and has dropped – all the way out of the first round.
DeMarvin Leal.
look, Jaguars have no
D linemen.
You have, you obviously have
Josh Allen at edge, but he's playing that stand up linebacker.
Those front
three, it's not really looking like they have anyone strong, really.
And look, DeMarvin Lewis been dropping
off boards.
Get him. Get him before he drops
even more. And we saw this same thing with JOK. JOK was supposed to be a first-round pick. Now, out of nowhere, he just dropped. And the Browns look like they got a great steal out of him in the second round, picking him up. Do not let DeMarvin Leal drop.
Maybe he didn't have
as promising of a year as it looked like.
But you got to pick him up here.
Okay. This is exactly how I wanted the board to set up. If I'm the Lions, I'm taking Chris Olave at 34. Pair him with Amon-Ra St. Brown. You guys, you know, it's a good, especially after drafting Desmond Ridder. You got the O-line. You got DeAndre Swift who's going to take a huge leap. I think this is a great pickup. This solidifies that offense. And just makes it a real threat, you know. I think this offense with Chris Olave can put up some points.
Back to the Jets.
As I was saying,
Robert Saleh,
he loved pressure.
When he had the defenses in San Francisco, his main thing wasn't, I have good DBs. I'm going to put a blanket coverage on you, and you're not going to be able to find anyone, and we're going to get coverage sacks. No. He brought the pressure with Nick Bosa. He brought it with Eric Armstead. He had all these pressure guys and always kept blitzing.
Cam Thomas out of
San Diego State.
Getting
some edge on that defense is going to bring Saleh to really, like, just bring that defense to a top 10.
Imagine if
Hamilton and Cameron Thomas both hit.
That defense is going to
be miles better.
I really wanted you to take Boye Mafe. I love Boye Mafe as a prospect. And Cam Thomas, I think he's going to fall down some boards. I don't know if he'll even go in the second round at this point. He had a very bad combine. I love Boye Mafe, and it's such a fun name to say. But I think he fits probably more of a you know, I think he's versatile, but I think he probably fits a 3-4 a little bit better. But he is 265. He can play 4-3. But here for the Giants, I'm going Christian Harris. I really like Christian Harris. The semi-final game, he played lights out, and the championship game, he was amazing. I think, you know, if you get a defensive coordinator who's going to blitz a lot, you know, I love this. And they got, you know, Wink Martindale now taking over the defensive play calling. I think Wink is going to love using Christian Harris like this. And he'll play an even bigger role in that Giants defense than Patrick Queen did last year. And Patrick Queen, you know, run gaps very well and got to the quarterback. I think Christian Harris will just thrive in that. And Wink will definitely know how to use him. So I'm taking Christian Harris, who I think is an ultra-talented linebacker.
All right. So to the Houston Texans.
Not really looking like
anything promising, to be honest.
I have them going
Jaquan Brisker out of Penn State.
Now, with
Jaquan Brisker, they have a guy who can go all over the field. They obviously have Justin Reed, but they have someone who they can put in a cover two, cover three shell. He can roll down. He can play the box if need be. He can be that good safety over top. And
if Lovie Smith
wants to bring the pressure or show shells of defenses he doesn't want to run or shells of defenses and changing into a cover two or changing into a cover four or something like that,
Jaquan Brisker can
be a really good roll-down safety,
laying
the boom, breaking blocks up and really getting to the ball. Just a great ball hawk.
I like it. I'm taking with this pick for the Jets, I'm taking Kyler Gordon, cornerback from Washington. You know, they need another corner. And I think this is a good fit for the Jets. And I love Kyler Gordon because, you know, last year he got targeted a lot because on the other side was Trent McDuffie and no team was targeting McDuffie. So they went after Kyler Gordon and he just continued to prove himself over and over again. He's got the tools, you know, that you look for in an outside corner. And I am very big fan of this prospect and I think he'll succeed at the NFL level.
Chicago Bears,
their first pick. Story of this draft has been help out your young QB.
O-line, I'm not thinking. I don't know. I don't like the
idea. Bernhard Raymond, I don't know how to pronounce that. Central Michigan.
But imagine Christian Watson.
They're going to lose Allen Robinson. It's a given. But Christian Watson
and Darnell Mooney, that could really help out
Fields.
They have a
solid tight end in Cole Kmet. He's not going to be, you know, that vertical tight end that's so promising in the NFL that so many people have seen.
Solid, but having Christian
Watson on the other side of Darnell Mooney. Well, I feel like we'll really relieve the stress off of Justin Fields. Just another some guy he can give the ball and say, go make a play. Go juke someone and get that first down.
Yeah, I love that pickup for the Bears. That's an excellent draft pick right there. You know, he's just a freak athlete. For the Broncos here at 40 – there's rumors that they're going to try and target Von Miller in free agency and bring him back to Denver. I don't see that happening. I'm taking – say it with me. Boye Mafe. You know, he tested very well at the combine. Can drop into coverage. Is just an athlete. And he just plays with that fire that you look for, especially in an edge rusher. I love Boye Mafe, Minnesota dog, going to Denver.
Great. So I didn't. I said Bernhard Raymond. What is it? Raymond? I don't know how to pronounce it. Whatever. I'm just gonna call him B-Man. That's his nickname now.
Bernhard. So,
yeah, big
Bernhard.
The Seattle Seahawks.
I don't know what they're trying to do. They don't have the team around Russ to make a playoff push, and they're just being stubborn, not giving, letting him win another ring somewhere. This is like, what do you want to do? Are you going to go another year without addressing offensive line again,
and just let Russell
Wilson
destroy his body,
give him more CTE?
I don't. I wish that's
the route they would go.
What are you even saying?
They don't address a line
for Russell Wilson.
No, I know.
Oh, my God.
They got to go. They're going Bernhard here.
Losing Dwayne Brown
in free agency, most likely. I don't know. Just give him a tackle to protect him a little bit.
Yeah, I've mocked that before a couple times. Someone who stock went up in this combine. I think would be an excellent fit for the Commanders. That's the first time we've said that on this.
Yeah.
I'm going Sky Moore, Western Michigan. I think his sky went up, you know, or his stock went up.
Oh my God.
Just his speed, his straight line speed, his agility. He's got hands. He's good. He's a good route runner. Get him the ball in space. Pair that with Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel as well. It's a good looking wide receiver core. And George had them getting Kenny Pickett at 11, so can't go wrong here. Just getting him more weapons.
All right. So we're at the Atlanta Falcons again. Who, wait, sorry. Give me a sec. Who did you draft? Ahmad Gardner. All right. So for this pick,
most Calvin
Ridley is most likely leaving. I want to see him go to the Patriots for a second round pick. That's the ideal scenario.
Or a good replacement
for him to get a good receiver. Obviously,
Russell is Russell Gage
a free agent or no?
Because he had a good season last
year. Russell Gage is a free agent next year.
Okay. So having Russell
Gage there to help out finish Matt Ryan's career is good. But you want to get someone young, help out that next QB prospect, whoever it will be.
And George Pickens
looks like he's going to be a great receiver in the NFL.
Just looking at him
at a as a physical standpoint, he's a big wide receiver. He has a big catch radius around him, being 6'3". He has all the tools to be a great receiver in the NFL.
He's a natural hands
catcher, and he has all right separation, but just being big, if you can – if you have decent separation being a big guy, it's –
the sky's the limit, honestly. I like the pick, George
Pickens, going
from Georgia
to Atlanta, you know, just a short drive.
I like that. For this pick, I would have gone George Pickens for the Browns here, but I have the Browns taking partner in crime with Myles Garrett, Arnold. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that last name. but the edge rusher from Penn State, you know, explosive combination of power and size along with speed. He's got good bed around the edge. And I think, you know, he's a little underrated as a prospect. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes in the 30s. When it's all said and done, but I like Arnold a lot.
For the Ravens here, I've talked to you about what you want the Ravens to do. You want them to get another cornerback, and that's exactly what we're going to do with Roger McCreary.
I like it.
He has the
versatility where you can play him inside, you can play him outside. He's just an absolute freak athlete, and putting that on the Ravens defense where it's just going to – where offensive have just keep bringing out more and more wide receivers, having a third cornerback so that they don't have a problem like they did last year where they lose a corner and it's just like, well,
we're fucked. We have no one to
guard anyone. He's a good player. He has a future where maybe for the next 2-3 years he's going to be an inside guy for the Ravens as Humphrey and Peters – move on or maybe get traded or whatever it is, he can be moved to the outside as well.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's a good pickup. Here for the Vikings. Now, when I was making this pick, you know, I was thinking we haven't had a single running back come off the board. And I think Breece Hall deserves first round pick. I just want to say that. But, you know, when we look at the teams, it's just like, I don't think there's any team that's taken a running back first round. But just wanted to put that out there. But the Vikings here. Oh, man, this is tough. I have a certain pick in mind, and I'm going to make it. I have the Vikings selecting Sam Howell, quarterback, North Carolina. I think just about everyone in that Minnesota locker room, front office, you know, is fed up with Kirk Cousins. They're paying him too much for him to be mediocre. His stats are very good, but you have a top two receiver in the league right now. And, you know, this is a time to get a quarterback when you have a guy like that. You know, I think, you know, Sam Howell, he's a little bit undersized, you know, he lacks mobility a little bit, but he's got the arm strength to make those throws and he's got the accuracy. Another interesting pick here would have been Matt Corral.
But I don't see that happening. I think his injury is going to make his stock tank a little bit. But Sam Howell, I think, you know, the Vikings would be happy to have him and just have him develop, because the Vikings have an awkward window right now. Develop a quarterback during this time, continue to stack. When it's year three or four for Sam Howell, you know, then you can unleash what you have. But I think they don't believe in Kellen Mond either, because they would have played him late down the year when, you know, instead they had Sean Mannion playing. Like, they would have played him if they liked what they saw on the football field, but they're trying to hide him. So I'm taking Sam Howell. End of story.
I like Sam Howell as a player, but I feel like you can look at press conferences from Mike Zimmer. I feel like he just didn't like Kellen Mond. Like, from the press conferences where, like, so are you – for this last week, are you going to play Kellen Mond? No. Like, give the man a chance.
Yeah, so the reporter was like, do you want a chance to look at him? And he's like, I look at him every day at practice.
I feel like that was just Mike Zimmer being – An old cranky guy being coach. I'm gonna get fired. I know it. I'm not gonna give the fans what they want to see what their future looks like. Like, honestly, I don't know. Colts here, with them being a scary team, they looked like a really scary team, and people in the were scared of them if they made the playoffs. But obviously, Carson Wentz couldn't put two and two together and throw through the Jaguars defense. Someone I like for the Colts defense, though, Jackson Hill from Michigan. Jackson Hill is a really versatile player. He can play in that nickel area. He can play free safety. And just having versatility is such an important factor for drafting a player. You see it all the time. Just because of versatility alone, that can bring your stock up so much. Look at Isaiah Simmons. Obviously, didn't pan out as much as people wanted him to, but just because of his versatility, where he could play middle linebacker, could play safety, could play that inside nickel corner if need be. And Daxon Hill has that versatility, not as much to play linebacker, but still where he can play that one high safety. He can roll down into the – where he can roll down, be that short zone in cover three, can even man up in nickel. Just a lot of versatility for that Colts defense.
Oh, there! I really wanted you to take Calvin Austin there. I feel like that would have been such an insane fit. This Chargers pick, it's really hard. But I'm going to have to go – Tariq Woolen, cornerback from UTSA. He tested amazingly at the combine, lightning fast 4.43 40. You know, he can play on the outside. He's 6'4", 205. Incredibly, you know, he's got the physicality and the arm length to be able to press. And I think this is a guy who we're going to see skyrocket up draft boards come April. So,
back with the Saints. We said we don't know what route they're going to go or what route they're going to want to go. A safe pick here is Sean Ryan out of UCLA. Looking at Sean Ryan, he's a versatile player who potentially could be that quick fix at tackle for a year or two. Obviously, he wants to be inside, but in his career, he's played tackle. You could put him at tackle. He could take Teron Armstead's spot just for a year or two. He does lack length that you want to have at that tackle position, where he could get bullied by longer armed guys. But he's a very good anchor and will be able to push off the bigger guys. But he's a good replacement for Teron Armstead for a short time.
Okay, now I'm with the Dolphins pick here at pick 50, taking Breece Hall.
All right.
Their run game just never got off the ground last year. And I know with the new head coach hiring of I can't think of his name.
Mike McDaniels,
yeah. I was going to say McCarthy. I was going to, like, yeah, Mike McDaniels, yeah. Coming from that Niners offense, you know, running the ball is just a huge part. Breece Hall, a freak athlete, you know. He had a faster 40 than Saquon Barkley and a 1-inch lower vertical jump than Saquon Barkley, and we consider him an outstanding athlete. But you know, he's doing this at 220 pounds, 6'1". He's got the power, and he's got the production of any first round worthy running back. Breece Hall to the Dolphins.
Back to the Eagles.
I know they just signed
Devontae Maddox. I know. But
Big Play Slay
and Parlam, is that how you pronounce it?
Kyrie Elam, yeah.
Kyrie Elam or whatever. That's
scary.
He's a
cornerback who is a big physical guy. He's 6'2", he's lengthy. You can
press him.
He'd be a great zone coverage guy. Just a very good cornerback. He has great ball skills and can just really has great technique to play through the receiver's hands.
Two lockdown
corners on the outside and having Avonte Maddox in that nickel spot
is going to create some
hard times for quarterbacks to try and get the ball in.
At 52 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Matt Corral's slide ends here. You know, they need a quarterback. That's no question. You know, I think just Dwayne Haskins is not the answer. I know Steelers fans do not want Mason Rudolph. There's word of them bringing in Mitch Trubisky. I think, you know, no matter which one of those top six quarterbacks you get, I think any one of them is worth a chance to start and prove themselves in the NFL, because each of them has deserved that and proved that during their college career. Matt Corral was a guy that we were talking about for Heisman, and was going to be a top five pick, no doubt. You know, he has taken a slid here, but I think his traits, there's no way that the Steelers pass up on him here in the second round. I don't think he's going to fall this far. It just happened here, you know, but there's no way he's getting past 52.
We're at the Raiders.
Someone that I
really like, a good fit for their team.
Another name I
cannot pronounce. Daniel Falele. Is that correct? I don't know.
Falele, yeah.
Falele, bro. He's a freak of nature. 6'8", 380. And surprisingly, he can move a little bit. Raiders didn't hit
on Leatherwood. Maybe he can be an all right guard. It was very bad watching Leatherwood last year. Like, damn. Even for a rookie. They had to try and hide him inside with all the troubles that they had. Protecting Carr is going to be Josh McDaniels' first step of business once he gets to the Raiders.
They have
Colton Miller on the other side, who's looking pretty promising. They signed him last year to a long deal.
Having another
tackle who you have solidified and their contracts are done, you can just be like, good, I have my O-line done. I can focus on other positions now, you know?
Yeah. Okay, for the Patriots here. Of Patriots taking. To go with our theme of the draft, Patriots taking David Bell. You know, he's a traditional X-like receiver. 6'2", 205, ran a 4.6 40, a little slower than you would have liked to for him. But, you know, I think a lot of that is just because people thought, expected him to be a 4.5 guy. And for him to go out run a 4.6 2, I believe it was, you know, obviously that's going to hurt his stock. You know, I thought he would go, he'd be the first receiver in the second round. Here he is almost falling out of the second round. But you can't deny production. You can't, you know, overstate what he did at his time at Purdue. And, you know, he's not a flashy receiver, but he's going to be your solid receiver. And I think, you know, that's what the Patriots need, especially, you know, because they're going to be moving on from N'Keal Harry this offseason. You know, you need someone, if you're going to draft a receiver, that you know will be solid for you. And that's David Bell.
With the Cardinals pick, they have to go running back.
Like, I don't think James Conner
is the answer. Chase Edmonds is a free agent.
I do not like Isaiah Spiller.
Kenneth Walker.
That's who I'm going. But,
like, I will.
I don't know. Isaiah Spiller trying to hide his slowness with not running the 40.
His and slowness.
Going, yeah.
Because, like, if you look
at it, people will just do the pro day to, like,
if they don't do the NFL
combine, there's a reason behind it.
Think about it. Oh, maybe.
Maybe we should go back to the college I played at so they can, you know, maybe juice the number a little bit of how fast I was or stop it a little early. Where at the NFL, at least I thought that would be very accurate, seeing that's a little different from what the
official times are compared to the
time on the
– it's true.
At the point. But Kenneth Walker, I really like him here. Kenneth Walker, what was that one game where, like, he went completely off, right? It was against Michigan, right? Or what was it?
Yeah. You know, basically down the stretch against his Big Ten opponents. But, yeah.
He's very promising. It's not like he's been a running back who's been getting pounded his whole career. He was a one-year starter. And he just showed great things about him. Like, he's going to have good durability. He's very explosive. Like, if he sees a crease, full head of steam, no one's stopping him. He's very versatile as well.
He's an angry runner.
Just got to love that pick for the Cardinals.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. Here for the Cowboys, I have them going Jalen Petrie from Baylor. He showed that he can be a solid safety in the NFL. He can move. His hips are very fluent. He's a guy that can move into the slot and play man. He's a guy that can also play nickel linebacker. So I think that versatility is key here, and I think the Cowboys would greatly appreciate that.
All right. So with the Bills' second pick,
I have them going
Travis Jones out of UConn.
Woo! Travis Jones, I really
like the pick. Him and Ed Oliver, scary D line.
Bills have heavily
invested in their D linemen, taking so many strong pieces. They took Epineza. They've taken Russo.
One more
pick here, and they're going to be the next Commanders with having just an insane defensive line. Jones. Great run stopper, but in addition to that, he has very strong hands. He's really good at getting off blocks. He's active hands when he's trying to win that first contact. He just looks like a really good player, and he has such a good motor that you gotta love if you're the Bills here.
Yeah, I like that pickup. His stock's been going up since the Senior Bowl, but. For the Falcons here, I like Darian Kennard from Kentucky. He has the versatility to be a guard or tackle. I think he projects better in the NFL as guard. he's got similar versatility to Jalen Mayfield, who did not pan out for the Falcons. They drafted him 2 years ago in the second round, around this range. And, you know, he's been mediocre at best. But the interior offensive line definitely needs to be shored up, because this offense is not too far away from being that good. I think the Falcons are better than what their record says, because they do have solid pieces on their team. And I think, you know, a pickup like they had in Sauce Gardner in the first round and then coming back with the offensive line, I think that's key here for the Falcons. You know, as I think they're a team that could be a sleeper for a playoff push.
I'm sorry, who was your pick for the Falcons? I spaced out there.
Darian Kennard. Packers are all
Packers here.
They're losing someone who played really well last year, had a standout year. He's going to get a lot of money in free agency, and Devondre Campbell.
With the league just becoming more
and more of a passing league and less of a pound the ball league, there's obviously a few teams who still do it.
Daylon Clark is going to be a beautiful pick for the
Green Bay Packers.
6'3 frame.
He's athletic enough where he'll be able to stay with tight ends and lock people down in pass coverage. Just a freak athlete.
Run game is
a big problem for him. He's not very good at reading counters and RPO plays.
And it's a little more difficult
for him to get off blocks. But having Kenny Clark in the middle of that defense on that D-line
already helps stop
the run game so much. And Damon Clark helping out in coverage is going to boost that defense with all the losses they've had.
Yeah, I think that's a very solid pickup for the Packers. For the Bucs here, it's difficult. Because I look at the receivers, and the top guy on my board right now is Calvin Austin. But I think, you know, you already have Scotty Miller. So you don't really need that. But I'm torn between two guys. I'm very tempted to take Carson Strong, but I'm not going to. I think that would be a good fit. And I don't think the Bucs are in win now mode, as it's very difficult to obtain a very solid quarterback or veteran quarterback, because the market's very expensive right now. I'm going with a wide receiver. I'm going with Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. He had a very, very impressive combine, 4.3 40. Great hands, his combination of size and speed. It projects well at the NFL level and can be that Chris Godwin replacement. I like Alec Pierce here for the Buccaneers.
All right. So with the
49ers, big problem I see with them is their secondary. They just don't
have very good cornerbacks, and they are losing safety Jaquiski Chart in free agency, looks like.
Lewis Klein, he's a really good
run defender from the safety level.
His ball skills aren't there yet, obviously.
It's very he doesn't really have the best
pass coverage,
but
if he can develop that, sky's the limit for him.
He fills the run gaps very well as a safety.
Good player.
Yeah, no doubt. I got the Chiefs taking Logan Hall from Houston. I like him a lot. He projects in that 4.3 very well. He's 6'6", 275, but still has very good explosion for a guy 275, and you pair him with Chris Jones, you know, he can get a lot of sacks, and he's also a very good run defender too. So I like Logan Hall here.
All right. For the last pick.
In for you, yeah. I have Mr. Irrelevant in the second round.
Oh, yeah. So.
Chad Muma out of
Wyoming.
The Broncos are losing
a couple inside linebackers who are really good key players. Alexander Johnson, Josie Jewell.
Chad Muma is a bit, another
athletic big linebacker listed at 6'3".
And
he, right now, I don't see him as that Mike linebacker. Not yet.
In a couple of years, he can definitely
develop into becoming that. He's a very good tackling ability and is just has that high IQ that you want out of a Mike, but he still needs to develop a little more.
And I see him being
that Will linebacker in that 3-4 defense. Or wait, no. Shoot.
Which is, what is
weak side middle linebacker? Is it Will? Or
yeah.
I see him being that. In...
just fitting well in that defense.
Okay. Here, okay, I'm kind of torn for the Broncos. I like, the two Georgia guys at linebacker for the Broncos here. I like Quay Walker a little bit better. I think he fits their scheme a little bit better. You know, his ability to, you know, play that Will, the weak side. But, you know, I just like – I like his speed, his side-to-side ability, and I just think he's a very solid pick for a team that's struggling with linebackers.
All right. Great pick. I like it. I like it.
It's a good first mock draft right there. It doesn't look all too right. bad, actually.
No, not too many
picks where you look back and you're like, what were they thinking? I think it's a pretty good mock draft.
Like it's solid. So yeah, that's our first mock draft of the season. Hopefully you know, we're planning to get back on it, I guess, you know? You think so, George?
Yeah. I mean,
all right, so we got free agency videos that'll be coming out soon. That starts in 8 days. So
it's gonna be a fun free agency.
Yes, sir. All right. Peace.